Hi, this is Norm Augustinus. I'm sorry I missed your call. After tone, leave your name and number. I'll get back to you.
Hi, Norm. I hope you are well when you get this message. Norm, I want to tell you a story. When I was a teenager, my parents took me to a local park. There was a swing set there. Norm, when my dad parked the car, I ran to the swing set and I sat on it, and I started to swing. My favorite thing to do was jump off the swing while I was high up in the air. However, something was different on this particular occasion. I believe that in actuality, I sat on a time machine designed to look like a swing set. Let me explain. Norm, while I swung back and forth, I felt the chains that I was holding onto vibrate and heat up. They looked like chains, but they weren't chains. They were twin antennas connected to the time machine mounted to the underside of my swing seat. To everyone watching, I was just a teen with full red lips and big melons, pumping my sweat-soaked delicious legs as I swung back and forth. But as I pumped my goose-pimpled legs, I jumped off the swing set seat when it was at its highest point. Norman, I was catapulted into another time. Instead of landing on the dirt in front of the swing set, I landed on a bed where a man was lying on his back. His dick was long and wide, and it was rock hard. Somehow my hot pants and t-shirt were torn off as I time traveled. I was naked. When I landed on the bed, the man's enormous cock went point blank into my tight young pussy. But how? Why? Norm, I was on top, and the man was on the bottom. As I rode his monster cock, I came. As I came, I moaned. There was a mirror mounted on the wall above the bed headboard. I was shocked at the faces I made as I took the dick. The man's schlong went in and out of my pussy thousands of times. Eventually, I blacked out from orgasm overload. When I regained consciousness, I found myself lying naked on the ground 25 feet from the swing I was sitting on. My mother covered my tits with her sweater. My father wrapped his pants belt around my waist, and he hung his socks from the belt in order to hide my jism-covered, exposed fuckhole. Norm, somehow I had time travel to dick. Who was the man that banged me out? Where did I go? Where were my hot pants and t-shirt? I may never know the answers to these questions. Norm, I had to be pushed around my high school on a wheelchair because I had been reamed out so brutally. My thighs and young cunt hurt. While I was lying inside an ambulance, getting the time travel jism pumped out of my fuckhole, a very kind paramedic looked into my eyes, and he said,
I took a dick once too. I didn't time travel to a big cock like you did. I took it when I was sitting in the bleachers with my father. We were at a high school football game together that was 5 minutes from our house. My old man attended that very high school. There were football guys out on the football field, and they were doing all kinds of things that the crowd liked. There were touchdowns and field goals and kickoffs going down. My pop waved and yelled. So I waved and yelled too. He was happy like the rest of the people sitting in the bleachers. I didn't know anything about football, but I wanted my pop to see how much fun I was having. While I was yelling and waving, a giant dick came through the wooden bleacher seat that I was sitting on and went deep into my asshole. The mammoth dick bore its way through the wooden bleacher seat and fabric of my pants and underpants with ease. I was in pain. I screamed and shook like a dope addict needing a fix. My father thought I was really into the football game. But I wasn't into the game. I was getting brutally cornholed from someone clutching onto the underside of the bleachers below me. When my father finally realized what was going on, a monster-sized, very wide, and supernaturally long dick hammered its way up to the wooden bleacher seat, and it went into my old man's asshole. For 10 minutes, we sat there waving our arms and yelling as the both of us were violently cornholed. Even when there was no play occurring on the football field, we still waved our arms and yelled. We were in pain. We were being jointly cornholed. It was like someone had super glued both of our asses to the bleacher seat. It was a bad scene, man. My poor dad pulled alongside a dumpster on the way home, and we threw our pants and underpants into the dumpster. We were naked and limping when we came through the garage door. Lucky for us, my mom was in the bathtub. My pop and I never went to a football game again, and we never talked about getting cornholed ever. Someday I will find a dude or dudes that cornhole my father and I, and I will kill them.
Norman, I am telling you this story in the hopes that it helps your female listeners. Girls, watch out when you sit on a swing at a park. You could be time traveled to a big cream-filled cock. It happened to me. Now I must go. Norm, I call all the time, but you never phone me back. What gives? Can you please excuse me? I want to vibrate my clitoris and fuck hole while I smoke weed, tap my bong, dry hump a pillow, and come while I lie atop my dead grandmother's whiskey, semen, and piss-stained mattress. Bye.
End of messages.
He wishes he could have killed his grandmother. His mother says everything he touches turns to shit. He's been to jail, spent 24 hours in a mental institution, and unsuccessfully tried to kill himself 3 times. And now, live via the internet, Norm Augustinus.
So somebody left me a box of weed on my porch or my stoop. Have you ever had a box of weed, a box of marijuana left on your stoop on your porch? No? Why in the fuck would they leave you a box of weed on your porch? They might leave you a fucking box of rat poison. They might leave you a box of fucking cyanide capsules or a gun with one bullet in it. They don't want to get you high. They don't want to be around you when you're high. They just want you dead. 5'10", 195, 220 pounds. You come home from work 2 days a week every week with a 6-pack of fucking Bud. They don't want anything to do with you. All day at the factory, 10, 12 hours. And when they ask you if you'll work 4 more hours, you say, yes, of course I will. They don't want that shit. They want excitement. They want something like me. They want you dead. They're going to leave you fucking weed. It's going to be the lowest quality weed there is. Nothing but fucking stems. Hey, smoke that, factory rat. That's what they're thinking about you. But they don't think that way about me. Why? Because I'm the recipe of what people want to be. I've said this for fucking years. Tall, thin, handsome. Really, the recipe of what people want to be. It's not bullshit. See, chicks want to hump me. They want to blow me. They think I'm sexy. They don't think anything about that with you. Yeah, maybe you'll hook up with some old heroin addict. She's laying in bed as you're going to work. It's 5 a.m. You'll be home that night sometime at 10 p.m. As she sees you goes past the door, she sees you walk past it with your factory shoes on. All she's thinking is that she hopes you die in just a brutal car accident. But they don't think that way with me. Chicks want to be around me. That's why they leave me gifts. And how would I know a chick left me this box of weed? I know it because I could smell pussy when I opened the box of weed. The actual box was ancient. They didn't think when they gave me the weed. The box said Tom McCann on it. Now, Tom McCann used to be a shoe place. They sold shoes. You're driving around with your mom. If you were like me, you're driving around with your mom. You tell her you don't want these shoes. She hits you across the face with her right hand. She hits the power locks. That's what my mom loved to do. Hit the power locks and hit me across the face when I told her I didn't want the fucking shoes she made me wear that we just got from Tom McCann. That was 75% off because it was embarrassing to wear the shoes to school. Put on the power locks, hit you across the face, and when she did, she'd make a sound. Ugh! And I never forgot that sound. I mean, it's creepy, isn't it? Ugh! And she puts everything she has into it. This was the introduction to women as I started to develop my mind. I understood, wow, this is unbelievable. I came out of her fuckhole, and now she's hitting her creation across the face. It's like an artist now destroying their clay creation. They spent fucking months making this thing out of clay. They're going to eventually turn it into a mold and make a bronze statuette out of it or something. And she's able to hit me across the face. Clay people, they get pissed and they just tear the head off and stuff. That's what she was doing to me. So the box was Tom McCann. And it was filled with fucking weed.
Don McCann's an old shoe place, man. You drove around and stuff. Hey, can we stop someplace and get a fucking cheeseburger? My mom had a shitty car. There was a hole in the floor on the right-hand side, right through the fucking floorboard. One time she bought me a cheeseburger and a drink, and it's like one of the only times she did that. She must have had an enormous rush of guilt from hitting me across the fucking face. Now, she had huge knuckles, like rheumatoid arthritis, and I think she got the rheumatoid arthritis from hitting me across the goddamn face on the left-hand side. I still don't really hear good in that left-hand side, man, from how those fucking knuckles hit me in the face. She had this hole in the floor of this car, this Dodge Dart. I think it said Twister on it. I don't remember the model, but I remember reading Twister on the side of the car, and it was yellow, and it showed like a little tornado, a little fucking Twister going on. That was the logo of this car. The floorboard was rusted out. She bought me a fucking cheeseburger when cheeseburgers were real. Now, they're like sawdust mixed with fucking grease or something. That's not really a cheeseburger at McDonald's. And there was a hole in the floorboard. And I thought, wow, my mom's really doing something good for me. I'm feeling good. I got all my fucking attribution, all the sense of worth from her. And I'm feeling good now, too, because it would change. Now, she didn't like me, I didn't like me. And I dropped the fucking Coke and the cheeseburger through the rusted out hole in the floor because the back of a book she used to cover the hole had moved off of it. It was a hard book cover on the back of it, like an Atlas book or something like that. And the fucking thing moved, and my cheeseburger and my drink went through the hole in the floor. Before I could even think, before I could even process the horror of my cheeseburger and Coke going through the floor of the fucking Twister, this car she had, I took fucking knuckles to the face. The knuckles across her four fingers, not the thumb so much. It was the four fingers and the knuckles in the area where the fingers were, the middle part of the fingers. They were huge from rheumatoid arthritis from hitting me across the face. And I took one across the face instead of having a fucking cheeseburger and a Coke like a normal fucking kid, man. If you have to go through that kind of stuff, you can see how it can make you. It can make you, unmake you, make you, unmake you. The ladder of your fucking mind of what you are just collapses. All the rungs fall off. And you don't know who the fuck you are anymore. You just know that you didn't take one across the face today. You must have been a good goddamn boy. So that's the box. Sorry to get off the track there. That's the box that she left on the porch. This person, this woman, you say, how'd you know it was a woman, Norm? How did you know a woman left you a present of weed? And I've never had that done. Of course you've never had that done. They want you to give to them. You're supposed to provide. You're not ever supposed to get an actual gift. You're just the provider. You're not actually loved by anything that revolves around a woman. They don't love you. They're not ever gonna love you. You're supposed to provide. And the minute you don't provide, they hate your fucking guts and turn into everything they always were anyways. It's unlike a man. Two men can get together. I can drink beer, I can sit out by the lake, I can do all kinds of stuff like that, and you can be friends forever for 50 fucking years because you know each other so well. The minute you don't give that bitch money, provide money, the minute you're going through emotional problems or job loss problems or you hate actual working after working so long, you're going to take it up the crapper from this bitch the rest of your goddamn life. They can't love you. They're not ever going to love you. At least not like your correspondent, man. Man, I love you. I'm not shitting you, man. Every time I think about you on the other end of this fucking recording while you're beating your meat, while you're smoking dope, while you're taking one up the crapper with a strap-on dildo, I still love you, man. You can always come here, and I'm here 24/7 always going on and on and on until I don't go on anymore. Until I fucking cramp up, till I drop dead, then what? Then what the fuck are you gonna do, motherfucker? I don't know what you're gonna do. I haven't put you in my will. I haven't provided for you. There ain't any goddamn will, man. Never gave me a dime in this recording, motherfucker. I'd cut your throat in a second if I saw you. The only thing I can do is hope that you visit me at my gravesite. It's going to have a thing you can put money in. The lid will open. It'll slide open. You'll see a clear, transparent plexiglass. I'll be in the coffin with my cock in my hand, a robotic action, and I'll be beating my meat, pumping off my cock. Well, you pay for the money. There's your bitch. She sees it. She says, let's get out of here. This is disgusting. A skeleton pumping off his cock. And his cock ain't fucking, it's like got a rubber dildo where his cock's supposed to be, but the rest of him's a skeleton. Or it's a skeleton cock like I thought it was when I was a kid. thought the dick was a skeleton, and I thought somehow the skeleton moved in and out of hollow bones or something, like it rode up and down in like some kind of pneumatics or something like that. Put money in that shitting thing. You could have done it when I was alive. You fucked me good when I was alive. But then you can come up to my coffin there and see my tombstone, the tombstone engraving that says, I'll meet you at the big clock. Your bitch is there. You're there. She'll never understand, man. What are you doing putting a fucking quarter in that machine? That quarter should have went in my fucking wallet. That's what chicks think. That's what they'll always think. They can't love you, but they sure as fuck are good at faking it like you're special to them, mofo. So, I knew it was a fucking shoebox, because when I opened the shoebox filled with weed, I smelled one thing. Now, this could take years. Maybe you already accomplished this, maybe you understand it, maybe you do it now. When I opened the box, I smelled pussy. Strong amounts of pussy everywhere when I opened the box. That's all that's in the air. That's all that's going on in America. It's not bullshit. I'm not kidding you. Fucking laundry beads, scented beads, candles, air fresheners. They're drowning out the airwaves with all this perfume shit. And why? It's because of women's pussies. Man, they smell bad. They always smell bad, and they're always going to smell bad. Remember, when you marry one, you got to take care of that. The judge and the law and the court and all that shit and the legal paper, they say you got to take care of that pussy. All your life, you're going to take care of a pussy like a stray cat out in the fucking rain. That's you and your little pussy. You got to take care of it. That's the law. And the minute you don't take care of it, you're going to pay. You're going down, man. You're going to jail or some shit like that, or restraining orders and all that other bullshit. They got all the scented beads, all the perfumes going on. Every commercial, every other commercial is an ad for stink. Scented candles, scented fucking earwick solids, automatic fucking air perfumers in the rooms, automatic shit for the clothes because your pussy stinks 24/7 and it smells worse now than it ever did because all they do is use it to get a dick. One fucking cock after another being pumped into that goddamn hole. Big, greasy cock filled with white lotion. That's you, man. That's all they want. They just want dick to see what they can get from dick. It's actually gotten so far out of hand that I myself have gotten creeped out. I mean, I've gotten actually scared. I've taken precautions that I can't tell you about with regards to women because it's so fucking scary. You're in danger, man. You're in serious danger. I'm with you now, but I'm telling you, get out of there. Get out of there now, motherfucker. Get in your F-250, your goddamn vintage 125 Ford. Get in that motherfucker, your Ranger, and get the fuck out of there. She don't love you, man. Get out now. Financially, you're going to be destroyed within 6 months. Hit the goddamn gas and peel the fuck out. I like to say the word peel out because that's what I do a lot of. I do a lot of peeling out. Picked up a hitchhiker a couple months ago. The goddamn chick, before she got to the door to pull the handle open, I saw something evil in her. I mean, I saw something evil. And what was that evil? Well, she ran to the truck, my fucking truck door with her legs slightly bow-legged, which means she just took a goddamn cock all night long, and now she's going to use me to take a cock, and I wasn't up to it. I saw something evil, and what'd I do? Well, Norm Augustinus pushed on the gas pedal. I peeled the fuck out of there, man, laughing, thanking myself, understanding that I just saved myself from a certain fucking physical or psychological death from a bitch. And that's what's coming your way. You've already gone through it. You're going to go through it again and again and again and again because you believe each one is sweeter and finer and better than the last one. Here's how you negate that. She's been taking a dick since she was 14 years old. She's been humping pillows. This is the number one way chicks get off. Look it up if you think I'm shitting you. Since she was 12 fucking years old, moving those hips up and down and all around, looking to come, practicing for the dick that she's going to extract the finances through. It's a big pipeline of oil coming out your cock and going into her, man. Humping pillows since she's 12, 13 years old, and here comes you. She's not like that, Norm. Uh-huh. She's different. Uh-huh. Oh, she'd never do that. Uh-huh. No, this is a once-in-a-lifetime find. I'm really lucky. Uh-huh. You just come on over here right now. I happen to have a piano wire in my back pocket. I carry one all the time. And it'll garrote your fucking head off and save you any problems, because that'll be a better death than what that bitch is going to do to you. Really? So, I opened the box up, and I smelled an immediate rush of pussy, of old pussy, of cunt. Of course they smell. There's lubes in it now, expansion things, dildos, vibrating eggs, big goddamn sweaty cocks. I don't care where it comes from, going in and out of that fucking pussy nonstop. If a chick hasn't had a cock in her in the last 24 hours, they get sick, man. They get wobbly. All their confidence is built up through the dick being in the hole. It's like a vampire. Once he runs out of blood and shit, he gets weak. He's almost powerless. He's got to get a new fix to feel like he did before, powerful. And that's what they do with your dick. They re-encharge themselves, re-energize themselves with a big fucking 10, 12-inch cock, big meaty thing with all kinds of girth filled with cum, and they feel whole again. They feel normal again. That's all they are. No matter what ad you see, what commercial you see, what empowerment bullshit you see, that's all they are, man. So I opened the box, and I smelled this pussy. And then I looked at the weed that was in it, and I thought, this is nice. Obviously, a girl left it here. She left me clues and stuff like that. She wants to take my dick. She wants to get with Norm Augustinus. She wants to be by the glow of the fire, the heat of the fire. She wants to be around the goddamn light bulb like a moth. They ultimately die. She wants to be around some kind of buzz, some kind of heat. That's all they want until they don't want it anymore, because now they need security and housing because her old bag of shit with a dried out atrophied cunt, and they went through menopause and they're taking handfuls of fucking menopausal pills to try to fix hormones and this and that and all kinds of shit. I mean, think about it. They take handfuls of fucking pills after their cunt shuts off so they can feel human again, because their cunt was 97% of what they were when they were fucking alive. I gotta feel like I can be human again. I gotta get hormones and fucking B12s and all. Give me some I'm dying. I'm drying the fuck up. That's a chick. Hear I said that? I like to say that on the end of P's because I think it adds to whatever you're talking about. So I open a box of weed. Motherfuck. It was an abortion. When I say an abortion, I'm not shitting you. Don't give me marijuana. Don't give me fucking flour, bitch. And I don't know who you are. You probably listen to this. Don't fucking gift me flour, motherfucker. You old whore. And with all kinds of stems, with all kinds of seeds, man. You know there were buds in the box? You think, wow, buds. I like buds occasionally. I mostly don't use the buds. She gave me all kinds of buds. There was mold and mildew on the buds. That's all garbage shit. She's on a budget and she thinks I'm not a weed connoisseur. I'm not an aficionado of weed. Are you fucking kidding me? Michigan's the number one fucking weed grower in the goddamn world. Look it up. The number one exporter. Everybody comes to Michigan because they want Michigan grown weed. And why is that? It's because the ground here can grow anything. When the glaciers were coming through this state, they just dragged all kinds of fucking soil here from other states, from all kinds of places, ripped their soil off and dumped it in Michigan. They're over there with sand and shit. And we got all the best soil in the world thanks to fucking the glaciers, the movement of the glaciers in the ice age. And when it was all on freezing, they start moving and shit. Here comes our future earth, man. Here comes our topsoil. It's like it's being delivered by a pickup truck. Here it comes. It's the finest soil in the world, and it grows the best weed in the world, and everybody wants it, man. Don't give me fucking shit like that. I don't smoke stems. I have. I've wrapped stems up. I've taken 5-6 stems, no shit, and I've wrapped them up using that shit you wrap around a fucking egg. You wrap it around fucking, what is that thing? You wrap it around, it's got rice in it and all that stuff. It's got rice, it's got fish in it. You wrap it around this green stuff, it's like algae. I've wrapped that around that bunch of stems, and I've smoked that when I was goddamn desperate. But nobody really smokes stems, man. And what am I supposed to do with seeds? What am I, a parakeet? I'm going to fucking sprinkle the seeds? What am I doing, rolling my own, rolling a cigarette with cigarette paper and rolling it and wrapping a cigarette, putting the seeds in? I don't smoke fucking seeds. Nobody smokes seeds unless you're wasted. When you're wasted, seeds can be funny, man. Wake up, you're fucking and shit. There's seeds all over her face. You've been banging her. Her fucking ears have been hitting her. Her knees have been hitting her ears, and there's seeds all over her face, embedded into her cheek. There's seeds in her fucking belly button. There's seeds all along the inside of her fucking ass crack. That's funny, then. I've had that happen, okay? I mean, seeds in that regard is kind of a funny occurrence. It's something worthwhile. But I don't want seeds. I don't want fucking stems. I don't want mold and mildew on my buds. I want real fucking marijuana, not delivered to me in a goddamn old Tom McCann box that had a bunch of stinky shoes in it. Probably once was housing a dildo or three dildos and cock rings and fucking all kinds of shit. That's where chicks put this shit in shoe boxes. I want vibrant, dense fucking buds, man. I want pungent aroma marijuana. I want springy textures. That's what the fuck I want when I'm doing fucking marijuana. You don't give me garbage. I want a certificate of analysis. When I get weed, all of them have a COA. A COA is a COA. They call it a COA. That's a certificate of analysis of what the goddamn weed is. That's what I want. I only want to smoke the best shit there is. Why do I want to smoke garbage? That's like me picking a fat bitch out over some chick that's a size 3. She's got red hair. She's just here out of Ireland. She looks like somebody threw fucking flour all over her skin. Even if she's flat-chested, it doesn't matter. She's got orange eyes. They're the finest bitches on the planet, Irish chicks in the world. I wish they could see that over there the way we see them here. Now, that's the finest chick there is. Now, I'll take that, but don't give me some size fucking 24, extra, extra large, or XXL large. I don't want her the same way I don't want garbage goddamn weed, man. I understand the sentiment. I understand what it's supposed to mean. I understand you're supposed to be being nice to me. But, man, this shit goes in my lungs. I process it through my bloodstream. It goes through my liver and all kinds of shit, my kidneys, into my brain, into my body, everywhere, all these personal areas, into my sack, my balls, all of it. I only want to smoke the best goddamn weed, man. Don't give me junk-ass weed. And on top of it, it was like a lid of weed, maybe two lids of weed. I don't want a fucking lid of weed. I've got bricks of weed, 2.5 bricks to 3 bricks of weed in my fucking house at any given time. They were given to me by a grower up here, a wholesaler of weed that's authorized by the state of Michigan. I pump the daughter of this people that own this wholesaler of weed, these official growers, a grow house, and I pumped her and she's given me a couple bricks of weed for nothing. That's the kind of dick power I have. That's the kind of thrusting power I have in my cock, the kind of lovemaking that I do, unlike you. I'm not done in 5 and 10 minutes, though I have been done in 5 and 10 minutes many, many fucking times when I just wanted to get off. But I'm not fucking like that now. I just want to go in there and pound. I want to crush, kill, and destroy. I want to split this bitch's seam with my big fucking Abraham Lincoln fucking stump cut. My Abraham Lincoln fucking beaver buster. It's big. It's a big damn dick. That's how it is. It's a fucking big crack cracker, and that's what I have. I go in there, I give him everything I have, man, unlike you. I don't want garbage weed. Nobody wants garbage weed. They want good weed. The only good thing about the box that I could see was maybe the box. And then I started fantasizing and thinking about all the shoes that were in the box. I could see women's shoes in this box. Fucking 1970s, 1969 era fucking shoes. Big goddamn stiletto heels. She's going out for dick. She's going out. She's fucking hunting for dick. That's what they do. Looking and hunting for dick. You know that women are extremely unhappy when the weather's bad. If it's very cold, they can't let their tits hang out. They can't have their ass hang out. They hate it. And they think, man, there's another day lost that I could take a dick, that I could meet some fucking rube, some mamaluke motherfucker like you, that I can't meet him now because why? Because I got to put a big coat on. It's lost. It's gone. This is how the mind of a woman thinks, man. Summertime, it's all in, man. It's summer fucking summer loves all over the place. That's what they winter loves, summer loves, Christmas loves, New Year's loves. These are really just fancy names for fucking recruiting a rube like you, some imbecile, so goddamn lonely, lonely. That's with you, with your pocket pussy. your truck driver's pocket pussy in your goddamn over your dick. It's a pocket pussy. It's just like the most important part of the woman. It's just like a piece of pussy, and there's fucking real hair on it, and you plug it into an accessory port in your car or your cigarette lighter if you got an old car, and you can get off while you're driving, man. You ever pass some dude, he's smiling and shit, he's laughing even? He just came, man. He just came 3 or 4 fucking times because he's got a fucking pocket pussy. He didn't have to go through any trouble. He didn't have to go out on a $250 date. He didn't have to pay for $250 worth of fucking face makeup that she got from some whatever high-end makeup man. Putting her primer on first, putting her foundation, her primer, her goddamn outer glow, her big fake eyelashes, man. You're going to pay for that. You think that shit's free? When you hire a clown, what happens? You hire a clown, you got some kid over, some spoiled punk, some bitch that's going to give nobody but trouble on her life, you hired a clown for her. Well, you got to pay for that clown. You got to pay for the suit. You got to pay for his white clown face, his big nose, his hair, his wig, all of it, the driving time. Bitches are the same goddamn way, man. You got to pay for that clown when you're going out to take her out to some steakhouse. Hey, fuck that. I would never do something like that because I know the secret. I just started laughing and trying to hold it in. I know the secret of what a bitch really is. You gotta demoralize her, bring her down, make her crash, hold her by the back of the head, slam her head in the fucking wall, and then she comes back to earth. She comes back to reality when she looks and sees her $250 worth of makeup smeared all over your corkboard with messages on it for you to remember throughout the week. She sees that and she says, God damn, I am dumb. What the fuck do I think I am? Fuck me good. Fuck me now. Give it to me, and how? This is what they think, man. So, if you don't give me a certificate analysis with your free weed, with the free weed you gave me, get lost. I don't smoke fucking flower without a COA. Nobody smokes fucking flower without a COA. Certificate of analysis. I need to know the THC breakdown. I need to know the inert ingredients. I need to know where the shit was grown. Hopefully it's grown in Michigan, the finest weed there is. I've got right now. I don't ever talk about this because you can only have 12 plants. I got at least 100 plants growing right now. I live in upper northern Michigan on 100 acres. I have at least 100 fucking plants growing right now. Not 12 plants. What am I supposed to do with 12 plants? 12 plants. You know why they say 12 plants? Because that's the government of Michigan, Michigan State. They say 12 plants. Here's why. Here's the inside thing of it. You get 12 plants because they figure one plant will last you a month. 1 month of plants lasts 12 times. That's 12 fucking plants. Here's your plants. Now, what if the plant, you had a small yield? What if you had small growth where the leaves didn't meticulate right or anything like that? The lighting was out or the power was out. I got 12 fucking plants. Maybe one of my plants is very small and won't last me through the fucking month. We're talking 30 goddamn days, man. How's it going to last me a goddamn month? I want big giant leaves. Okay, 12 plants, one plant a month. That's the law here in Michigan. Is the leaves gigantic? Are the leaves as big as fucking pumpkin leaves? You ever see a pumpkin leaf? Are they that big, that a big leaf like that, where I can smoke for fucking 2 weeks off maybe one leaf, or 10 days for one leaf? Now 12 plants make sense. 12 plants ain't enough, man. Not enough for nobody. That's what the law they made here. Eventually they'll change that. They thought, wow, 12 plants is a lot. 12 plants. All the bitches that made that rule that were sitting in that meeting and all that shit. They smoked 12 plants in a goddamn month. 2 months worth when they were fucking in some cabin with some dude when they were 19 years old. 12 plants ain't enough, man. 12 plants. I got 100 acres of weed growing right now. 100 acres of huge plants. And the secret to the plants are this. Nobody will ever tell you this. Now, marijuana loves nitrogen. It loves it. Nitrogen added to the soil in the right amounts. Too much nitrogen, you'll burn the plant or kill it. Nitrogen added to the plants at right intervals, at right distances, you have gigantic plants. You ever see a Sasquatch? The Sasquatch, they call it a squatch now. You ever see a fucking squatch, shit for brains? A squatch is gigantic. Not a 10 feet tall, big giant thing. I grow marijuana plants as big as squatches. In fact, when I walk down where my marijuana is and someone's with me, I say, look at that squatch. It's 12 feet fucking high. Look at the size of the leaves on that. Look at that squatch over there. Look at that squatch over there. when I'm walking through the leaves and I'm saying, look at that squatch, I got my two fingers real tight, my pointer finger and my middle finger, and they're tight together, and they're slightly curved. Why are they slightly curved? Because I roll it under her fucking crotch where her cunt is, and I roll it into her beaver ear there, and I'm banging around with my fingers, and I say, look at that squatch. Look at that squatch. And I'm playing with her cunt, and I'm just sliding my two fingers that are slightly bent, they're tight together. I'm sliding it into the crotch area of her, where her cunt is, where the legs meet, and I'm saying, hey, look at that squatch. Hey, take a look at over there. Look at that squatch over there. Hey, look at that squatch over there. When I get to the end of the 100 acres, and maybe not even that many, I mean, 100 fucking plants, maybe not that even many, when I'm like midway through the fucking 100 plants, I'm at 40 plants, I'm on the ground fucking. And when I'm done fucking, what do I do? Well, right there, hidden in my 100 plants, I've got a small hidden fucking box that's in the dirt. The leaf is, even the lid is camouflaged. The lid has a fucking hinge on it. When you open the hinge, you look down and it goes down about 3 or 4 feet. I dug it into the ground. And what's in there? There's tools in there and other things in there. There's ham radios in there, walkie-talkies in there. Things that I need, emergency things I need. There's even a fucking handgun in there in case I get some kind of person poaching wanting my 100 acres and my 100 plants. I don't want that. And I'll show how much I don't want that. Because I'm highly skilled at fucking using firearms because I spent 18 months doing tours in Vietnam, and I will zip somebody most Ricky Tick. Don't mess with my fucking 100 plants. But also in that container is what? Well, it's a special wheeled contraption I made that I can put a bitch on, and I can push her through the fucking 100 plants. They're beautiful rows of plants. Rows are the only way to go. That's they showed us this long ago when farmers started farming the land in America and elsewhere all over the world. You had to have rows. You can't have a discombobulated circle of plants that all converge into the middle. How do you do anything? How do you cultivate them, clear them out, weed them? Nothing. You can't do anything like that. But I have a push cart with these big rubbery wheels. And I take it out and I put the bitch on it that I was just playing with my two fingers playing with her cunt and showing her my squatches. And I put her on that. And then, cause they always have to piss after they're done fucking, after they're done taking it, after they're done getting played with. And why is that? Because they get turned on, man. They get turned on. When they hear the sound of water, a chick automatically has to piss. The bubbling sound, the gurgling sound of liquid, they have to piss. Well, they can hear the bubbling, gurgling sound to come in your ball sack and your fucking stem of your dick, and they get turned on. They want to get turned on. They got to piss. So I can push my bitches through the squatches, my giant squatch fucking marijuana plants, honest to God. And I push them in there. I take their pants off, their stretchies off, and I take their panties off. They pull their legs back, and I have bungee cords that'll hold their legs back. And as I'm pushing them through my squatches, I tell her now, squirt it now. And they can, such powerful ability to hold, pull on their cunt, to close the cunt muscles, all that area, because they really do control when you come. If they're bored of you, they'll tighten down on your cunt, make you come. If they don't like you at all, they'll leave their cunt floppy, loose, and stretched out. And when it's floppy, loose, and stretched out, you can't fucking come. It's a horrible ordeal. It's a mess. It's not worth fucking. You think, what am I? I really feel lost here, just fucking this big, wet hole. It's no good. It's the same thing with her piss. When I tell her to piss, I move her from squatch to squatch to right range, and the lady, the chick that I'm with, she'll just piss into the soil, not close to the plant. Too close to the fucking stem, and you'll kill the plant. Nitrogen overdose, they die. They burn right out. And I pull them back, I know the right distance, and I tell them, okay, go. They let the piss out, then I push him down the aisle, then I let the piss out, then I push him down the aisle, and I let the piss out of her. I tell her, I give her the command, because they really are ready for your command. They take over if they find out you're a pussy. They find out you're some kind of fucking fruit, and you give them all this power and all this fucking... They'll kill you, man. They'll roll you over like a steamroller, and you won't even know who you are. In 1 or 2 or 3 fucking years, man, the only one to know is your best friends who come over and say, what the fuck happened to goddamn Bill? Or whatever your name is, Bill, Dave, fucking... I don't know what it is. I just push her down my fucking 100 plants... On my 100 acres in upper northern Michigan, I push them down, they piss, I move it, they piss, I move it, they piss, I move it. They're helping me cultivate my plants, grow my squatches, and so I can have the best flower in the world, and I do have the best flower in the world. Now, when I get done with that, of course, we fuck. We fuck because why? Because you can smell marijuana. Honest to God, you can smell it. And you have to do this. You can smell it, and you kind of get turned on the idea of you smoking it, you smell that, and you think, well, I'm close, this close to partying, man. I'm just close to partying. The only reason I keep the gun, too, also, in that special box with a hinge, it's camouflaged, is because fucking deer love goddamn marijuana plants. Deer. D-E-R. The deer love it, man. And they'll eat the plant down to nothing. And you know you've been ravaged by deer because you'll go down your squatch fucking grow area looking at all your squatches, idolizing your squatches, loving your squatches, enjoying the view of what you've done here, the fruit of your labor. And all you see is goddamn stems. 10-foot fucking stem. A 10-foot stem with no leaves on it and shit looks like the fucking Christmas tree pole, the fake Christmas tree you have when you're putting a pole together before you start putting the branches on. That's what they turn up looking like because deer ate them. I've come up there a couple times and they've blown the back of the brains out of the fucking deer that has eaten one of my plants, one of my squatches. I find that personally be intolerable. I can't take it. You don't eat my squatch. You don't eat my fucking flower that I'm growing for myself for personal pleasure as I try to find my way through this fucking world, as I work my way through this goddamn world one day after another of hardship, unending fucking labor, job after job of shit. And the only thing that goddamn brings me pleasure is what? When I'm looking at the squatches, when I'm looking at my flower, and I just start laughing, man. And then I see a fucking deer there with their dead, empty black eyes, and that fucker's getting high on my labors. Dead black eyes looking at you. It's kind of creepy, especially if it's getting dark out. Standing there, he's a little bit wobbling. He's been eating leaf after leaf. Looks like he's royally fucked up. You don't know if he's been possessed by the devil, by Lucifer. You don't know what kind of scam, what kind of game's happening in front of you, what kind of alt-life shit is going on in here, some goddamn alter-world life. Is it possessed inside this fucking deer, and you'll have to take him out, man. Boom. This will sound crazy, but I've done it because I've dressed deers before. I dressed people when I was in Vietnam. That's no shit. When you say dressed, what you're talking about is you take out a special knife and you cut the deer up from the fucking ass end of him all the way where his pisser is or his balls are, and you cut them all the way up and you cut them out and you get all that goddamn organs out before the meat goes bad. The same fucking thing I've done for a deer when they've eaten my weed. If you get there quick enough, there's big sections of fucking leaf in there, of flour that he's eaten, that's inside his belly, and hasn't started to be destroyed with the digestive juices, and I've extracted it and laid it out on this special board that I have nearby that I can set up. It's like a solar panel, only it's not. It's a special board to fucking do this with a deer that's eating my goddamn leaf. And I've laid it out, man. And dried the shit out. And I've still smoked it. I've let it go bad. I've let it go turn brown. I've let the sun dry the fucking thing out. And I've actually smoked the shit that's been inside a deer's belly. And there is a different kind of thing about it. There's a different kind of thing with it. I don't know. Maybe it could get big. I don't know. But I don't want no goddamn oversized rodent eating my flower, man. I'm walking around there with my bitches, with my whores and shit, and I'm making them piss on the plants. They'll do anything for you at a certain point. At a certain point, they realize it's not about $250 in makeup. It's not about a $500 bra or $2,000 or $3,000 shoes or a $5,000 bag. At a certain point, all they know is they've got a shithole in a pussy. You're in this nice house in the middle of nowhere. There's a lake, and they want to take dick all night long. Dick all night long. Why? Because that's all they want is meat. They want meat on top of meat and more fucking meat. I think I told you the math formula about meat. And it's disgusting, it's horrible, and it's true. It's disgusting, horrible, and true, especially when you realize it applies to your woman and any chick you know, and even your goddamn sister. It applies, and your mom especially, everything like that. Every thrust, every cram, every jam, every fucking push of your cock into some woman's hole puts in about 5 inches of schlong. That's one thrust per second for 10 minutes. So that's 3,000 fucking inches per fuck, man. 3,000 inches per fuck. So there's 63,360 inches in a mile. So that bitch needs to screw about 21 times to take 1 mile of dick of 5-inch cock size on average. That's a math formula I came up with. And what does it mean, man? 21 miles to take a mile, 21 fucks to take a mile of dick with a 5-inch cock. That's the mathematical formula. What it means is this. Man, the chick you met, the chick you know, the chick at work has taken a mile of dick that month in her pussy. Maybe she took it up the crap or two, up the goddamn stink snarp, the brown eye. And if she did, she took 2 miles of meat. 2 miles of meat times 12 is 24 fucking miles of goddamn dick of 24 fucking miles of goddamn meat that's been in her pussy and her cunt. And you're looking at her like she's a human being, man. You're feeling so polite and you're scared and you're dancing around and she just wants dick. I know the secret, and they know I know the secret. I know every fucking thing about a bitch there is to know, honest to God. And you're sitting there tracking her out, man. You're being nice to her. Hey, you want to go out in my fucking $80,000 pickup truck? I'll take you to a steakhouse. What are you doing, man? She's been all to every restaurant in the fucking county. She's been to every restaurant wherever you are in a state within a 300, 400 mile radius. And then when she wasn't there, she went to Vegas. She went to Cabo. She went to Italiano. She's in Italy, man. She's got a fucking baguette and she's got a glass of wine. Hey, fucking vino, Italiano, buffongo. She's fucking done all that shit and you think you're impressing her. You're not impressing her. She's done it all. You're making a goddamn fool of yourself. Hit the brakes on your fucking truck right now. Hit the brakes on your Elon Musk mobile right now. Hit the brakes and open the door and get the fuck out of there, man. Find yourself a curb. Go find a party store. Get yourself a Mountain Dew or a Coke in a glass bottle if you can find it. And sit on that fucking parking curb that's in front of the store for 30 minutes. You'll never feel that way again. It's the best feeling in the world. You just dumped pussy legs. Legs that move around stink. And look for trouble. Legs that move around the pussy that has unending stench of fucking fish, of pussy, moving it around filled with goddamn eggs, looking to entrap people. If that's not entrapment, I don't know what is. It's a complete setup. You can't win. You're never gonna goddamn win. Here comes the legs with a pussy in a shithole. Prepare to lose everything. Are you gonna say this? You could say this. Sounds like Norm's really been burned. He hasn't fucking poor guy's been burned. He was a little boy, he went into the relationship all wrong. That's not fucking true at all, but it could be applied. You could say that. I give you that. But none of that shit's true, man. You got to be cautious. You don't aim the end of a shotgun in your fucking mouth with a shell in it and just play around. The possibility is it could go off and you can lose your brains, man. You have to be aware of shit, don't you? You know there's landmines out there. You don't try to walk into the landmines because you could lose your goddamn legs. This is just stuff you should know, man. This is the stuff I do with my flower. When I grow flower, it's a serious thing to me. When I grow flower, I know I mean business. When I'm out there, I will blow a deer's head off. If I think he's eating 5 or 6 fucking of my goddamn squatches, and they were 12 feet tall and all that's left is a Christmas tree, fucking stick the 2 things you put together. Before you put the sides in, the branches in. If I know that he's fucking done that to these, I'm going to cut them open. I'm going to gut them. I'm going to cut the stomach open. I'm going to pull my goddamn flower out because it's my flower, man. You get high in your own time somewhere else. This fucking thing can't grow flower. He doesn't know nothing about flower, nitrogen, and pissing on the plants and fucking security and all. He doesn't know shit. He's just grifting on something that I have. It's much like a bitch. She comes onto the scene and pretty soon owns the entire scene that she's entered, man. It's not really fair. So that was the weed that was given to me. The weed that was given to me was not good weed. The chick wants to fuck me. I understand that. Because when you fuck Norm Augustinus, what happens? Well, you're in danger, number one. Automatically. I could be holding a gun to your head, telling you to let go. Let go. Let go. Release yourself. Release yourself. Stop acting. Stop acting. Let go. Let go. As I hold the gun or I'll blow your brains out. I want to be actually inside of her. I want her to be a part of what she's supposed to be. I want her and I to go raw. I want the lights and the power to go out and every refrigerator to die. I just want her and I there at that moment while I'm holding a fucking 357 or my Glock against her head and I say, stop acting now or you're dead. And I start counting down. I just want that. I want reality, man. I want to be plugged into reality. I want to be a part of what's fucking real. Not just goddamn bullshit of the commercials and the ads and the nonstop shit and the cars, the show, the presence. I don't want nothing to do with any of that. Eventually, when the world dies, when our, I should say government, the planet will never die. Eventually, when the government drops and everyone else's government drops, you'll be able to shoot bitches right on sight, man. No problem whatsoever. Look at that chick, man. Look at her goddamn stretchies. Look at all the cum stains on the back of her. Look at her fucking $250 of makeup leaking down the side of her face like a horn. Take her out. Boom. Just like the deer that is trespassing amongst my squatches, my 100 fucking plants that I've put my heart and soul into, just like the fucking that. Go find yourself a scented candle. When you got a bitch, motherfucker, and she's got a scented candle, you got a scented candle. Look, I got a scented candle. Look what I got. Scented candles are the tip of the icebergs. Scented fucking candles are half the problem now. You're being duped. You're being manipulated. I've had this shit all the time. In this fucking box was a scented candle. And it wasn't a normal scented candle in a shoebox from Tom McCann. It was a 5 fucking wick candle. 5 fucking wicks? 5 goddamn wicks? When I was fucking exclusively, when I was in my fucking teen years, when I was fucking, they had one candle. That one candle was enough. One wick, one fucking, one, I don't know what it's, cotton wick, one fabric wick, cotton or whatever it is, had one wick in a goddamn thing. They lit that thing. It was enough to cover the stench of their pussy because they didn't stink like they smell today. Today, they're overworked. The cunt's destroyed. It's mutilated. It's been fucking pile-driven so many times. It's just a rotted, fucking horrible, heaping mess of fucking puke. But then you could fuck with one candle. One goddamn candle, one wick I'm talking about in the middle of the candle. It was in this box. That's a hint. And you know it's from a woman. And they were so fresh and clean, and they weren't taking dick 24/7 and being hit by nothing but dick in every goddamn Netflix movie or shit like that. One candle wick, man. And the fucking candles today are 5 candle wicks. 5 candle wicks? That's the stench of how bad their cunt is. Used to be one wick, you'd fuck for 10 minutes and blow the wick out, blow the flame out, and have the candle you could pull out another time. There wasn't an overdose of pussy of her constantly trying to manipulate you. Think about a candle, fuckstick. A candle is lit because it's going to manipulate, going to con you, to trick you. You're a rube, motherfucker. You're a mameluke. Here she is lighting a candle. The pussy stinks because it had a dick in it yesterday. It is probably still filled with jism today. There it is. All kinds of jism dried inside her sugar walls from some big goddamn 10-foot tall goddamn African-American with the name of fucking Toby, and there you are. 5 wick candles, man, are dangerous. Extreme overload, a stench of pussy everywhere. She knows it, and she's going to drown you out. Well, the flamethrower, a 5-wick candle ain't a goddamn candle. It's not romantic. It's a fucking flamethrower. Look at the ceiling, man. It's all burned black. The soot hitting the top of the ceiling while you're fucking. It looks like some kind of demonic thing on the roof while you were fucking, and it fits, too. Look at the signs. Look at the movement of the brown ash, the brown carpet on the ceiling of the roof while you were fucking to a 5-wick candle. It's horror, man. What is that? What am I looking at, man? Looks like the devil. I see 2 horns. It looks like 2 fucking giant eyes. I was fucking, and the demon presence was in this room, and that's what it is, man. A demon presence is in this room. 5 candle wicks, man. In closing, I want to say this. Whoever gave me the fucking weed, thank you. It was a nice sentiment. It was a sweet thing. But don't give me that goddamn kind of weed. You give me the good weed. I know what good weed is. I don't fucking smoke stems. You want me to smoke fucking buds with mildew all over the fucking thing? Mold and mildew all over the buds? I don't want no stem. I don't want no fucking seeds, bitch. And I don't want them, period. You got a new chance if you want to try start over again. And I don't want them in Tom McCann box, other than the fact that I can fantasize there were stilettos in it with 6-inch heels, or maybe her fucking panties were in there. Some cum panties were inside the box, stored there with a dildo. That part I like. That part could make sense, man. I did smell pussy. All chicks smell like pussy. They're always playing with their pussy. They're always scratching it and itching it. It's itchy down there. Where's the cock, man? Where's the fucking beef? It's itchy down there. I gotta take some dick. Where am I gonna get some dick as I walk around your place of employment looking like they don't need dick, like they're completely calm, like they're in control, but they need dick. They're looking for dick. Where's the goddamn dick as they're smelling their fingers as they sit back down on their chair and blow three more pussy farts in the company fucking own chair?
You've been listening to the one and only
Dick. My dick is enormous. There is no escape.
We meet at the big clock. In cyberspace, it's dark out there in cyberspace. It's scary out there in cyberspace. You're out there in cyberspace. You're frozen with fear. You don't know what to do. You're looking up. You're looking down. You're looking to the right. You're looking to the left. It's windy out. You don't know what to do. You're frozen. Till eventually and quite abruptly, you hear this distant chiming clock in the background. And you follow the chiming clock until it gets louder and louder and louder, eventually bringing you upon this brightly illuminated place in cyberspace. There are thousands of people there. They're holding hands. They're smiling. They've been waiting for you. There's that thing that brought you to this place in the first place. It's a tower, 100-150 feet tall, brown bricks, tan mortar. Way at the top of this tower is a glass bezel. It's a clock. It's backlit. And above that is this chimey bell-like thing that brought you to this place in the first place. And you know why you're at this place in the first place. You're here to clear out your pains, your frustrations, your aches, your woes, your disappointments, your hurts. The person that died on you, the ramen noodles you're sick of eating, the credit cards you can't pay off, the apartment you can't pay for, the house you think you'll maybe never own, the bitch who left you, the guy who left you. You're here to clear all those pains and frustrations out. And how do we do that? Well, the moment you heard my voice, you were instantly and automatically filled up with this highly absorbent orange-colored solution. It's been inside your body sloshing about this entire recording. And now, at the end of this recording, we lie you gently down. We pop the corks in your toes. And all of that highly absorbent orange-colored solution comes gushing out of your body. Look at it. It's forming a small mini lake alongside you. It's orange colored. It's rusty. It stinks. It's toxic. We shake your feet, getting out the last drops of highly absorbent orange colored solution and replace the corks in your toes. You can't believe how good you feel. You feel like you can go on another second, another minute, another day, another hour, another year, maybe infinitely. It doesn't matter that a friend of yours is making $250,000 a year and lives in a $1 million house. It doesn't matter that another friend of yours has got the best looking bitch you've ever seen, or another friend of yours has the best looking dude you've ever seen. None of that shit matters. All that matters is how good you feel right now. You know you can feel this good anytime you want to. Anytime you're in duress, anytime you feel like you can't go on another second, all you gotta do is think of the big chiming clock in cyberspace, where you meet your pal, your friend, Norm Augustinus. And instantly, and almost automatically, you'll feel refreshed and clear. You know the best part of this recording, the most important part of this recording, at least to me, is that for 1 hour, we were friends. Friend, I enjoyed myself. I hope you did too. Write me, normaugustinus@gmail.com.
Tune in again for another exciting episode from the amazing mind of Norm Augustinus.
Dear Ramona, how are you? I hope this letter finds you happy and well. Ramona, I want to tell you about something that recently happened to me. Let me explain. While walking in the park, I found a small parachute. It was perhaps 4 feet in diameter, and it was made of some kind of fabric.
The parachute was attached to a pair of women's highly soiled cum panties. Knotted around one of the leg openings of the woman's cum panties was a Magnum XL condom. The rubber was half filled with jism. The cum was dripping slowly out of the rubber and onto the ground. There were honeybees standing near the puddle of semen. Ramona, the woman's cum panties smelled like raw, out in the wild, don't get too close, powerful death pussy. I coughed aloud whenever I got too close to the cum panties. I was afraid to actually touch the parachute with the attached cum panties, so I inspected the scene with a long tree branch. There was a 2-inch in diameter hole that had been blown into the ass end of the panty. The edges of the hole were singed, like the hole had been burned through the fabric by something super hot. Ramona, after some introspection, I have deduced that a man and a woman were in a Cessna 172 airplane. A Cessna 172 is a small 4-seater single-engine airplane. The man and the woman were flying at 6,000 feet. The man started rubbing the woman's snatch with his right hand. She was the passenger. The man was the pilot. The woman started rubbing the man's crotch. While she rubbed his crotch, the man cupped and rubbed the woman's sweaty tits, and the man flicked the woman's erect hard nipples using his middle finger. While the man was flying the plane and flicking the woman's tits, the woman unzipped his pants zipper, and she sucked the man's cock, and then she pulled the Magnum XL rubber over his veiny pilot prick. The woman then squeezed herself onto the pilot's lap. The woman was positioned so that her ass was making contact with his cream-filled fuck stump. While the woman looked out the cockpit window, the woman forcibly worked his gigantic dick through the fabric of her panty and into her stretched-out hungry shithole. That's how the hole got into the ass end of the cum panty. When the man and the woman were done fucking, the stench of pussy was overwhelming, causing the man's eyes to water and his nose to run, making it hard to fly the airplane. So the man tied her cum panties and the used cum-filled rubber onto a cloth parachute, and he threw it out the pilot's side airplane window. Ramona, it's possible the man threw the horny, dick-loving woman out the airplane window too, but I only found the lone cargo parachute. Who's to know? Ramona, I would have rather stumbled upon a patch of feral tulips, but I didn't. C'est la vie. I gotta go. I've got shit to do. Write me back when you can. Love, Norman. P.S. A couple of days ago, I bumped into your big-titted little sister. She was building an elaborate sandcastle on the sandy shore of Pike Lake, also in the park where I found the parachute. When your big-titted little sister saw me, she took off her shirt, brassiere, jeans, and panties, and she lied on her back alongside the sandcastle. The sandcastle she was building stood about 5 feet in height. It was amazing and very detailed. When I got to the castle, I shoved your big-titted little sister's head up to her shoulders through the main door of the castle. And while she lay on her back, looking at the ornate interior of the deluxe sand castle, I ate out your big-titted little sister's minge. And then I pulled her luxe cheeks apart, and I gave your big-titted little sister a rim job. While I was rimming your big-titted little sister's shithole, a woman walked over to us, and she said,
"It's so nice to bump into everyday people fucking and sucking in the park. When I was younger, I fucked a guy inside a sandcastle. It looked a lot like this one, only it was way bigger. The dude eyeballed was on his back, and I was on top driving his dick deep into my pussy. While I was fucking the guy, the sandcastle collapsed, and maybe a ton and a half of wet sand went into his open mouth. I was able to get air, so I kept fucking him. When his big dick went limp, I knew that the dude had died. He wasn't able to fill me up with jism, so I dug down and I cut a slot in his ball sack with my pocket knife, and I sucked every drop of cum out of his sack. There's nothing better than dead man's cum. It's super sweet. I want to be a part of this scene. I'm into sex. Sometimes my own cunt eats itself, and I have to beat my box with a club to get it to let go of my pussy. Make me a part of this sex scene, man. I'll pleasure the both of you, and you'll pleasure me. Tit for tat. Crack me. So what do you say?
Attention shoppers, this is Baloney Pony, your Rare Finds and Exotic Treasure store manager. Ladies, take a look at the store monitor closest to where you are standing in the store. What are you looking at? Well, I'll tell you. That is a 48-inch in diameter cloth parachute with the word Nassau embroidered onto it, and it's attached to a very soiled pair of women's cum panties. Watch as our attractive demonstrator holds a state-of-the-art pussy ion meter close to the woman's cum panties. Ooh-wee! Look at that needle jump. It's in the red zone, honey. Why is the needle in the red zone? Because the panties are sopped to the core with the stench of female raw pussy. Everyone knows that men love the stench of pussy emanating from a pair of yellowing cum-covered women's panties. Watch the monitor as our attractive female demonstrator points to the large hole blown into the ass end of these panties. How'd that hole get there? A dick did it, baby. There's nothing more determined than a rock-hard dick hot on the trail of pussy. Why do you want a pair of cum panties attached to a Nassau-branded parachute? It's simple. Think Artemis 2. Now think of that ugly dykish bitch up there circling the moon. Everyone fucked her. She was all they had. Unfortunately, the male astronauts had to blow her cum panties out of the airlock with a parachute because the stench of pussy inside the capsule was overwhelming. It's a fact. What I'm telling you is 100% true. Google it. Do it now. Now here's the kicker. Buy one of these parachuted NASA embroidered cum panties and place it in your backyard. Your man will believe it's the parachute that was blown out the airlock of the Artemis 2. It's Christina's astronaut pussy he's smelling. It's a one of a kind. Available nowhere. What a turn on. Your man is horny. He's hard. He's popped one. You're not invisible anymore, whore. Prepare to get dicked, sugar. Here comes the lumber. Spread 'em, sweetie. Even men that possess dicks that haven't filled up with blood in years will blow the hatch of their fruit of the looms. Hurry the NASA embroidered parachute and cum stained cum panties that reek of powerful girl astronaut pussy is only $109.99. Buy this amazing two-piece dick getting kit. Put it somewhere your man will find it and grease and deodorize your stretched out asshole and cunt. It feels so good to take 10 inches. Supplies are limited. Come on up to the service counter now. On a side note, my assistant Mandy Phelps has just shit while demonstrating the retro sit and spins we're selling in the kids department on the 9th floor. Mandy was spinning on the retro sit and spin, showing parents and kids alike on how best to operate the sit and spin. Mandy's meat hungry crotch was rubbing against the plastic shaft forward slash turn handle that rises out of the base of the sit and spin. Of course, Miss Phelps' needy pussy got switched on, and while she was coming and spinning and coming, and turning soft nipples into hard nipples, her throbbing cunt started dripping a tiny vaginal juice river down her juicy ass crack. Those oily, love-infused gas drippings lubed the hinges connected to her usually closed asshole door, and Mandy's cramper gave way, and she shit! Miss Phelps has irritable bowel syndrome, and she is extremely horny, oftentimes shitting when she is horned out.
In my mind, I was going to demonstrate the retro sit and spin, and everyone in the store was going to want to buy one. Because of my actions, we'd sell every unit we had in stock. I'd be a top performer. I'd get a promotion, and I'd get a raise, too. However, my pussy got turned on. I didn't plan on that. My cunt wanted meat. I couldn't spin that sit and spin fast enough. I came again and again and again. My fuck hole was on fire. I didn't give a fuck about the sit and spin. I just wanted to come. A woman needs meat all the time. So what? I shit. What about it? Everyone shits. Clean it the fuck up. I see a couple of people in the store laughing at me. Do you want to know what funny is? Funny is me cutting all of you fucks in half. I want everyone in this department store to die right now.
Attention maintenance. Please head over to the sit and spins on the 9th floor in the kids department. Bring mops, floor soap, a pair of crotchless panties, a 36 double D cross your heart brassiere, a pair of women's bell-bottomed pants size 7, a can of Summer's Eve, a water and vinegar filled douchebag, breath mints, scented candles, and 2 or 3 sticks of Nag Champa incense. Also, attention maintenance, please remove the sit and spin that Miss Phelps was demonstrating. It smells like pussy real bad. This has been Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. That is all.
Fuck.
Oh.
Fuck.
Oh. Fuck!
Oh!
Fuck!
Oh!
Fuck!
Oh!
Women are constipated 3 times more than men.
When you're walking down the halls and your balls hit the walls, it's a rupture.
Yeah.
If you enjoy Norm's show, please head to normaugustinus.com and make a financial contribution. It's our scene, man.